Recording in progress.
Thank you.
Boy, that hurts. looks like all of you are in the dark. So hopefully I can bring you into the light today. And we took a little side venture. We've been talking about why church. We're going to get back on that subject today. We took a little side venture for a couple of weeks. Because a couple of weeks ago, I decided it's probably important that I share with you about things that you need to do to prepare yourself. Because I was listening to a news commentator this week, and he said, it's very probable that we will never get back to the way we were before the COVID. The supply chain's messed up, and probably never get connected again the way it was, okay? Rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. And again, I say rejoice. I was watching the news, and they were panning these shelves in these grocery stores, and many of these grocery stores have nothing on their shelves. I'm glad I live in Tillamook. Praise, we're kind of isolated, and I did hear some people that they came from Washington to buy groceries here some time ago. But, I'm grateful to live in Tillamook. God, we are blessed. We are tremendously, tremendously blessed. And I'm grateful to the Lord. So we need not only prepare our shelves, but we need to prepare our heart, because things are probably going to get worse before they get better, if they ever get better. And I'm not saying that to scare you. If it scares you, then your heart's not prepared. Okay? If it causes you anxiety, then you and the Lord needs to do some work together, okay? And I can help with that, but I'm not the creator. I'm not the panic fixer. He is, okay? But there's work to do on your behalf with the Lord if that is the case. Last week we talked about marriage. It was Father's Day. I try to hit on the family. And I had a couple of questions that came up because someone said, are you saying that we can change the curse that took place in Genesis chapter 3? But I don't think that's what I was getting at. If I confused you in that manner, I'm sorry. How many of you sweated this week? Okay. All right. I'm not going to be able to change that. Yeah, yesterday. I was sitting in my house working up a sweat. I don't think I'm going to change that. What I was trying to get to and aim at is the relationship between a husband and wife. Now, some people say it's consequences that took place because of the sin, and then the consequences were the husband wanted to rule the wife, and the wife wanted to control the husband, and that's the consequence. Well, however you want to say it, okay. Yeah, I just want you to understand that we don't have to live there anymore, okay? The point is that we don't have to fight and argue that God has made us one in Jesus Christ. And we can be at peace with one another and be at peace with Jesus Christ. Someone texted me and reminded me or called to my attention that just as Jesus and God are one, and Jesus is submissive to God, they're equal. But Jesus is submissive to God. It's the same way as a marriage. Husband and wives are equal, and yet the wife is to be submissive to the husband. Okay? I hope that doesn't confuse you. And hopefully that straightened all that out. Any question about that? Sometimes I confuse people, and I don't mean to. it just comes natural. So let's move on. We're going to talk about today why church. I think this will be, this will be the last topic, but not the last sermon. There's a part A and a part B to this sermon. And we're going to be talking about why church. So the church, we discovered, is the church of the house of God. It's an assembly of believers. The church is the church of the living God. So God is still on the throne. He's alive, he's well, and he will never abdicate his throne. He is watching over you, okay? Even through whatever we're going to face, he's watching over you. And you need to be aware that we just sang a song that God is always with you. He's always with you. The third thing that we discovered is that the church is the pillar and the foundation of truth. Now, we could spend several weeks talking about this topic. We talked about truth sets you free. We talked about truth protects and preserves. We didn't talk about, but we could talk about the truth of God guides us. Is there ever a time in your life when you've seen that we need guidance in our country? I mean, there are some people who have gone off the rails. There are people who don't know up from down. There are people who don't understand that God has a purpose for their lives, and they've gotten way off track. But I want you to understand, if you're there today, God has a purpose for you. He has a plan for your life, and you can have direction in your life, and God's Word gives you that direction. God's Word is a guide for our life. Scripture teaches us that God's Word makes us holy. Scripture says that God's Word cleanses us. Jesus said, you're made clean, talking to his disciples, through the words that I have spoken unto you. So if you want to be cleansed, start reading God's Word. If you want to be holy, start reading God's Word. Did you know that God's Word will help you become spiritually mature? If you get into God's Word, let's just say you're a weak, anemic Christian. If you get into God's Word, it will help you mature. It will help you be strengthened. It will help you to become alive in the things of God, and you will strengthen your spiritual life by getting into God's Word. So I didn't talk about any of that in our series, and I'm going to just skip it. Not that it's not important, but we need to get on. Okay? I could talk, and I mean, we could be there for a few weeks anyway. So, the fourth thing that I want you to call your attention to is the church has a responsibility to make disciples of Jesus. Okay? The church has a responsibility to make disciples of Jesus. Look with me, if you will, at Matthew chapter 28. Before we go there, let me give you a little background. So, Mary Magdalene and another Mary had come to the tomb, and they were going to anoint Jesus' body with spices. When they got there, the stone had rolled away, and the tomb was empty. They didn't know what to do. But then an angel appeared to them and said to both of them, said, Mary, Mary, Jesus is not here. He's alive. And what I need you to do, I need you to go tell his disciples that Jesus is going to meet them in Galilee. Boy, they were so excited. Jesus was alive, and they turned around and head out to go tell the disciples, and somebody stood in front of them. And that somebody was Jesus. They fell down. They began worshiping him. And Jesus said to them, Mary, I need you to go tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee. And so Mary ran off and found the disciples and told them, Jesus wants to meet you in Galilee. Of course, some of them didn't believe him, believe the girls. I don't know if any of them did, actually. But they decided to go to Galilee and be. Now, I'd have thought, okay, where are we to meet in Galilee? But I guarantee you this, wherever you are, Jesus will find you. Yeah. Okay? Wherever you are, Jesus will find. My question, where are we going to go in Galilee? No, just you be in Galilee. You be as a group, Jesus will find you. And so they went to Galilee, and they were sitting around, and we find out in the other Gospels they were eating and carrying on and having a potluck. And Jesus appears to them. And one of the first things he says, the resurrected Savior, the first thing he says to them are these words. So let's listen to it. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So I want you to remember, these 11 disciples had been taught by Jesus. They had been sent out by Jesus to minister to others. Throughout his tenure, the 3 years tenure Jesus lived on earth, the first year he sent out his 12 disciples, and he said, "I want you to go heal the sick. I want you to go cast out demons because the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so they went out. The next year, he had 72 disciples. And he sent them out. Here's what I want you to do, guys. Are you listening? I want you to go out to the uttermost places. And I want you to heal the sick. And I want you to cast out demons. Well, we find the next year, at the end of the Passover, there were like 120 in the upper room. Same plan, same idea. So they had been walking with Jesus. They had been listening to Jesus. They had been following Jesus and began to do the things that Jesus did. And so what Jesus is saying, the things that I taught you, I want you to pass it on to others so that they can pass it on. And you know what? The reason you are a believer in Christ today is because they did exactly those things. Through Paul, then, you know, my dad, and you know, then me. And that has been carrying on and carrying on and carrying on because of what Jesus said to the disciples here in Matthew, as well as in Mark. So, I want you to notice, though, Jesus did not say, "I want you to go into all the world and make converts." Okay? Now, when I read earlier, I would read this passage of Scripture and I would understand it to say, you are to make converts. But that's not what it says. It says, you're to make disciples. So there's a difference between the two. A convert is someone who has heard the gospel message and has responded by opening their heart to Jesus Christ. That's a convert. You perhaps came to a place in your life that you realized your own sinfulness and accepted the truth that Jesus is your only hope for salvation. And so you repented of your sins, you asked God to forgive you, and you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. When you did that, you became a believer. You became a convert to Christianity. And I would say today, if there's someone here who has never done that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that at the end of service. Okay? Because that's a huge step. But I also want you to understand that becoming a Christian is different than becoming a disciple. It's very important that you understand that. So here's the deal. A disciple is a believer who made the decision that no matter how hard the journey, they're going to follow Jesus. A disciple is a follower of Jesus. You're going to learn from him. You're going to apply his truths to your life. You're going to strive to emulate him. The truth is that God is looking for, Jesus is looking for disciples. You make Jesus the pattern of your life. Do you understand the difference? Okay, there's a big difference. And Jesus said, I want you to weigh carefully your decision before committing to discipleship, because there's a cost. The cost for you to become a Christian was what Jesus did. Right? The cost for becoming a disciple is what you do with Jesus. So we're going to look at this. And Scripture says in Luke chapter 14 that we need to count the cost. Verses 25 through 33, now great multitudes went with Jesus. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Boy, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? It's like, have you ever noticed Jesus wasn't trying to build a mega church? His interest was disciples. He drew a crowd, but his interest was disciples. It's almost like he was trying to run people off. If anyone comes to me, does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And we talk, when we think of hate, we think of that bitterness in our heart that we just can't stand somebody. Have you got somebody like that? You don't have to answer. But that, you know what I'm talking about. What Jesus is talking about here is you have to put him above everyone else. You have to love him more than you love things and more than you love people. Let's read on. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. That's pretty harsh. So, have you ever wondered what it would cost you if you became a disciple of Christ? Have you ever wondered what it would take? What do you think it's saying here? How much is it going to cost you to become a disciple of Jesus Christ? It's going to cost you everything. He says, listen to me. He says, the fella who's trying to build a house, he wants to build a house. If he's a wise man, he will count the cost before he starts building. Because if he runs out of money, the bank may not loan him anymore. If he runs out of money, he's going to have a house that's halfway finished, and people are going to think he's a fool. So a house builder, if you're wise, you're going to count the cost. Understanding that it's going to cost you to build this house, you probably ought not build it bigger than you can pay for. Right? And he says about an army, he says a king has this army and there's this nation that he's warring against, and he's wondering, can I take this nation with the army and the supplies I have? Or do I just kind of stay content where I am? Says you got to count the cost. And what Jesus is saying, his implication is, before you make a decision to be a disciple of Christ, you need to count the cost. Because it could cost you everything. And if it does, then you're going to have to trust the Lord with that everything. It could cost you everything. Now, this sermon is not for everyone. As a matter of fact, a lot of the crowd left when Jesus preached this message. In Luke 9:23 and 24, he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." So he says, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, then you need to take up your cross daily. The cross is an image of death, right? It's not an image of your spouse. Okay? Oh, she's my burden to bear. Or he's my burden to bear. He's my cross. She's my cross to bear. That's not what he's talking about. He says, if you want to follow me, then you have to be willing to die daily. Do you know the old man tries to creep up sometimes? The old man is pretty selfish. The old man wants his way. We in this American culture think, like Burger King, have it your way. That's kind of the way our mindset is. But as a disciple of Christ, it's no longer, I want it my way, I want it his way. And in order to have it his way, that means I've got to die to self. I've got to put myself on the cross. And I've got to crucify myself, because self can get in the way of accomplishing what God would have me do. So Scripture says, if you want to follow me, then take up your cross, say daily, and follow me. First thing in the morning, it's a good thing just to surrender to Him. First thing in the morning, not my will, but yours be done. First thing in the morning, yield to Him. First thing in the morning, submit to the headship of Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. If you want to be my disciple, you need to count the cost, but it's because it's going to cost you. It could cost your family. It could cost your job. It could cost your friends. It could cost your bank account. It could cost everything. So before you make a decision, you need to count the cost. So, here's the thing. This decision is not something to be made lightly. This decision is not to be made because of an emotional experience. This decision needs to be made after you've contemplated and you've weighed what it might cost you. And you're willing to say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you no matter what the cost. So, according to this passage of Scripture, there's a couple of things. This church is responsible for sharing Jesus Christ with the lost, sharing Jesus Christ with those who are unbelievers, and they're also responsible for making disciples out of those converts. A disciple is a convert, but not all converts are disciples. So we've talked about the cost. What is the reward? Look at Mark chapter 10, verses 28 through 31. Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all, we've left everything, and followed you." You know, Peter was like, he asked questions that no one else, everyone was kind of afraid to ask. Okay? And these were good questions. And see, Peter said, "Jesus, we've left all to follow you." And Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." It would have been okay with me if he had left out that phrase, "with persecutions." Okay? Because, do you remember what happened to the 12 apostles and how they died? All of them were killed except for John. He was on the Isle of Patmos. I guess he died of old age. We understand now that, from what I've read, he was like in his 90s when he passed away. Okay. But when you become a disciple of Christ, you are not a friend of the world. You're a friend of Jesus Christ. But Lord, I've left all and followed you. Why don't you treat me better? Well, the Lord's going to treat you just fine. It's the other people that may not treat you just fine. Okay? Because if you exemplify Jesus Christ, if you love like Jesus, there are people who are going to not like you so very well. Too often, we put our emphasis on the world and what it has to offer. We put our emphasis on this world rather than the next. We put all our eggs in one basket, and the basket has holes in it. This world will pass away and everything in it, Scripture tells us. But whatever the cost it is for a disciple, it will be more than compensated in this life and in the life to come. Jesus said, I'll read it again. "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold, say 100-fold. Now, in this time, and in the world to come." So, is it better as you count the cost? Is it better just to live your life for yourself as a believer? Or is it better to go all in with Jesus Christ? It's easy to say, it's harder to do. Okay? It's easy to say. And that's why Jesus said, you've got to count the cost. We know it's better to go all in, but our flesh rises up and say, no, I don't want to die. I still want to hold on to this. I want to hold on to that. I don't want to die. Dying's hard. Have you ever watched somebody die? boy, the body just don't want to give up. Like, I don't want to die. My spirit says, I want to go to be with the Lord. But the body says, I don't want to die. And that's kind of the way it is with us as believers sometimes. We know we need to die to self, but it's like, oh, I don't want to die. There was a time in my life when I was struggling with something, a fleshly desire. And that didn't want to die in me. Just didn't want to die. And I kind of liked it. Okay? Kind of liked it. But one day I told the Lord, I said, Lord, there's a part of me that enjoys this. But I know it's not what you want. And so I'm willing for that part of me to die. I'm willing to hang it on the cross. And I'm willing for you to demolish that part of me because I want to live for you. Now, that was a hard prayer to pray because there was a part of me that liked that. Okay? But did you know that after days of praying that prayer, actually after I prayed that prayer in sincerity of heart, the desire for that thing diminished. And as I continued to pray for that, it kind of just went away. Now, every now and then there's a temptation, but I have the power through the Holy Spirit to say, you know, I'm not going to go there. That is dead. That part of me is dead. And so what Jesus is saying to us is that if there's anything that has a hold of your life that's keeping you from being all in, it's probably just best to crucify that. Paul said, I crucify myself daily. I die daily. The reward, listen, is always greater than the sacrifice. The reward is always greater than the sacrifice. Scripture teaches us, Jesus said, it's 100 times better, the reward is, than whatever you've had to sacrifice. It's multiplied. Multiplied. So this morning, I'm not going to ask you to make a decision to become a disciple. Next week I'm going to. Okay? Because you need to count the cost. Okay? I don't want this to be an emotional decision. Pastor Brad wants me to do that, or whatever. You need to count the cost. Are you willing? Whatever it takes, are you willing? I want to ask you a question. Do you consider yourself to be a convert or a disciple? You don't have to answer me. But I do want you to consider, if you're a convert, would you go to the next level? Your conversion was all paid for through Jesus Christ. Discipleship is something totally different. Jesus will walk with you. He will help you, but there will be troubles. There will be trials. Just warning you. It's what Jesus said. There's going to be struggles that you're going to have to overcome. So I've listed 10 things that we will talk about more at length next week. 10 practices of a disciple, or maybe goals. The first is to release all unforgiveness. The second one, be filled with the Spirit. The third one, walk in the Spirit. Number four, break every stronghold in your life. Number five, overcome fleshly desires. Number six, learn to share Christ with unbelievers and invite them to receive Jesus. Number seven, learn how to do Bible study. Number eight, learn how to pray and listen. Number 9, cast out demons. And number 10, heal the sick. That's what he says. Okay, you want me to go back? Okay. Number 1, release all unforgiveness. Number 2, be filled with the Spirit. Number 3, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Number 4, break every stronghold in your life. Let me get out of the way. Number 5, overcome fleshly desires. There's a difference between fleshly desires and strongholds. Fleshly desires can become a stronghold, but they are not necessarily so. Okay? Number 6, learn to share Christ with unbelievers and invite them to receive Jesus. A lot of times, we may be good at sharing the gospel, but we do not follow up with, would you like to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Okay? We don't give them that opportunity. And number 7, learn how to do Bible study. More than just reading, more than just memorizing, but actually learning to do Bible study. Number 8, learn how to pray and listen to the Holy Spirit. Number 9, cast out demons. Number 10, heal the sick. Okay. And we could go on and on. I mean, you know, there are some people that have pride in their life, need some humility. Jesus can help you with that. So, yes, Paul.
The Bible study is learning to study the Bible for yourself as opposed to leading a Bible study.
That is correct. Learning to study the Bible for yourself as opposed to leading a Bible study. However, once you learn to do that, the Lord may be show you some things like, man, I need to share this. Okay? It probably will happen. Probably will happen. But yes, thank you for clarification, Paul. We're going to talk more about this next week. But in closing, I want you to notice the bookends of this command. The bookends to this marching order. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. Okay? All authority has been given unto who? All authority has been given unto who?
Jesus.
One more time. All authority has been given unto who?
Jesus.
The other end says, and lo, behold, look, see me, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So let me just say, if you go out with, and it's not your authority, it's his authority. If you go out with the one who has all authority, and the one is with his disciples always, then what can't you do? What can't you do? You know, I'll just say, I'm still working on some of this stuff. I haven't arrived. Okay? But I will never arrive unless I become a disciple. That's exactly right. So I told you,
that I was going to give you an opportunity if you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I look around the room and I don't know of anyone who hasn't, but sometimes, I know when I was in church, I looked like a Christian. I spoke like a Christian. I smelled like a Christian. If people thought, man, he's a Christian, but in my heart, there was something missing. And today, if you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He died for you. He paid the penalty, paid the cost, so you could become a child of God's. And you, what you must do is receive it. Turn from your sin and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Pretty simple. Wasn't simple for him, but it's simple for us. So, Father, I come before you and I just want to pray for this, my family. Lord, I love them so much. And Lord, I'm still growing in this. And Lord, I think myself, like Peter sometimes, I say things wrong or mess up or just not be who I ought to be. And Lord, I remember, you know, he even denied you. And Lord, I don't ever want to do that. But God, I pray in Jesus' name that this week we would count the cost. This week we would be sensitive to your spirit. And Lord, I pray for many here today. Not only count the cost, but Lord, be willing to do whatever you tell them to do. In regards to this decision regarding discipleship, and Lord, we'll walk together in it. We will fellowship together. We will learn together. And Lord, you will have to teach us just like you taught your disciples. Lord, we submit to you this time. Lord, if there's anyone here today who does not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, they would turn from sins and come to Christ and cry out to him for their forever salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.